Welcome back to the Effective Ministry Podcast, where we at YouthWorks want to help you have an effective youth and children's ministry in your local church. My name is Tim Bielhartz, Children's Ministry Advisor at YouthWorks, and I'm here again with Anne-Marie Rivers, also a Children's Ministry Advisor at YouthWorks. How are you today, Anne-Marie?
Going well, thanks, Tim.
Excellent. Now, this episode we have for you today, it's a bit of a throwback episode, actually. It was recorded in December 2020 at the end of Sydney's first season of COVID lockdowns. It was recorded by Al James. He has a conversation with Suz Gorham and Josie Allen about young people and mental health. And this was recorded under the Discipleship Under the Crown version of this podcast before it got rebranded as the Effective Ministry Podcast. But for some reason, this episode never got released. And so we thought, having just followed up Trinette Stanley's conversation last episode with young people and mental health, this would be a great opportunity to release this episode and have it communicate what did we learn about young people's mental health, particularly during the COVID lockdown. Now, I don't know about you, Anne-Marie, but to me, listening to this episode felt like a bizarre time capsule back into a world a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, that's right. It really was a bit of a flashback, really, to those times and all the stuff that was going on then for so many of us. It can be a bit hard to listen to that, to be reminded of that time, because it was, for some of us, it was a really challenging time, and there were consequences to that. The amount of work and effort and the emotional energy that got poured into keeping things going and caring for people during that time. So I think it can be a little bit challenging for some of us to remember that time. And I think, you know, it's a good opportunity if those feelings come up when you're listening to this to talk to somebody about it. It might be, you know, it's been a while since we were in lockdown, but if you feel like those unresolved issues, then it's a good time to talk about it, to maybe spend some time writing in your journal if you keep one, or talking to a trusted close friend, or even to a counselor or psychologist, just about how you've dealt with that and processed that. And for some people, it might just be helpful just to skip through a little bit of the first half of this podcast, this conversation, because it really does bring back a lot of memories, some of which might not be good or helpful for everyone. But don't skip the whole thing, because there's really good stuff, really good observations and practical suggestions about caring for people as we go through things like this, and thinking about being good leaders and helping those with mental health issues.
Yeah, I think one of the really helpful things that is drawn out in this conversation is the trigger points. What would we notice as youth and children's leaders as we're interacting with our young people that might be going through significant issues? And also the really helpful comment in there about listening out for what's happening at home. Home is often a place where mental health or mental ill health first manifests itself because of the pressures that came up. And again, COVID was a particularly stressful point, as lots of people were in their homes, and what that meant in terms of relationships and added stress. And so that's one thing to listen out for, is how to be observing what's going on, and also to be recognizing that a lot of the stress that our young people carry into our ministries is coming from external sources that are very close to them, including their households. One of the other things that comes out in the episode, which is really worthwhile, is the link between mental health and faith. Did you have some thoughts on that, Anne-Marie?
Yeah, I think there's a really helpful conversation actually around that whole issue of what's the overlap. Like, there seems to be some kind of overlap between people who have faith and those with mental illness. And it's like there's so much potential misunderstanding there that's really helpful to explore it a little bit, because I think, as Al points out in the discussion, we are whole people. So we can't just neatly categorize our faith in one section and our mental health or ill health in another. And it's just helpful to clarify some things, like, just because we are people of faith doesn't mean we're immune to mental health problems. Also, having a mental illness doesn't mean that you have weak faith. Those things are not related in the same way. Mm. And even though there might be overlap in the sense of you might be going downhill spiritually and also going downhill in terms of your mental health, they're not the same thing. As is rightly pointed out as well, our faith does help us navigate mental illness and helping each other and learning how to think about it in a way that is helpful and true and holds on to the truth that we know that despite how we feel, God is still good, and we still want to be seeking to love and accept and welcome others, whether they're mentally healthy or not. So I think yeah, there's lots of good stuff to explore here.
Yeah, there's a lot of really healthy connections between our spirituality and our mental health. But as you say, there's not a direct correlation between those two, in the sense that when we're going well spiritually, we automatically are going well mentally, and vice versa. And that's really important to hold on to. As we think about mental health and the emotions of young people, it's a good time also to remember that House Conference is coming up at the end of August. House Conference is the theological as well as practical conference for youth and children's ministers. We dig deep into a theological topic, and this year it's all about the emotions, discipling the emotions of young people. And then we take that theology and we dig it deep into practice. What do we do with that in our ministries? This year we've got the Reverend Dr. Keith Condy speaking to us. He's the co-director of Mental Health and Pastoral Care Institute at Mary Andrews College. And Keith is going to be exploring the connection between emotions and behavior. And he's particularly going to be looking at the historical theological perspective and help us to understand that and the so what of that. And then Dr. Kamina Wurst, she is an Old Testament scholar, and she'll be delving into the book of Song of Songs and helping us think about how we can disciple the passions of our young people towards God. So House Conference is the 29th to the 31st of August down in the southern suburbs of Sydney at our Port Hacking sites. You can find more at youthworks.net and go to the events tab at the top of the page. But now sit back and enjoy, take some notes on young mental health, young people's mental health, with Suz Gorham and Josie Allen and Al James.
Today we're joined by Suz Gorham and Josie Allen, and we're going to be talking about mental health and thinking about that in the context of COVID and what we've seen over the last year, and also think about how we can help point people to Christ in the context of mental health, help young people deal with mental health issues in the context of pointing them to Christ. Welcome, guys.
Good morning.
I just want to spend some time introducing you first. So, Suz, you are a police chaplain. You've been involved in youth ministry and mentoring for a long, long time. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you have been doing over the last 25 years, what you're doing now?
Yeah, sure. Well, I've been involved in youth ministry and mentoring young people for, as you say, 25 years. And I began my career as a teacher, so I've always come from an educational context. Then I went into parish ministry after I'd done some theological training and had my children, and worked in a couple of churches in Sydney's North Shore in young people's ministry and women's ministry. And then I moved back into the educational context of school chaplaincy, where I looked after the Christian education program and pastoral care of kids from kindergarten to year 12 for a number of years. And now currently I work as a chaplain with New South Wales Police, looking after their specialist commands.
And you've got a lot of experience when it comes to mental health kind of things. I know that I was at a conference where you presented on mental health in young people. Tell us about some of your experience in that arena.
Mental health starts at home. And so there are members of my family who've struggled with mental health issues for all of their lives. Obviously, in a school context, you have young people who are managing depression and anxiety and other psychological disorders. So the care of them has been a priority for me, and therefore learning about mental health and mental well-being has become really important to me in the ministry work that I do, and just in the pastoral care of others, whether that be at church, at work, or in my own family.
I can imagine in the police kind of world, you're dealing with a lot of trauma, you're dealing with a lot of difficult issues in that kind of arena. Josie, you are a ministry intern at MBM Rudy Hill, Multicultural Bible Ministry at Rudy Hill, which is an Anglican church in the Sydney Diocese. Tell us a little bit about what you do with yourself in that role.
Yeah, it's a mixed role, but a good part of my week is spent on youth. So that's involved. I'm leading a group of year 12 girls. I've been leading them for quite a few years now. And I also am involved on a core team level with youth groups. So overseeing a lot of our community, our welcoming, making youth a safe space for all people.
And I imagine having been involved in youth for quite a while, you would have had experience kind of seeing and dealing with mental health issues as well.
Yeah, I think anytime you're involved in pastoring and discipling girls, youth girls, you're going to see the impacts of mental health and how that interacts with their spiritual health as well.
That's brilliant. And I mean, the hope that we have today for today's podcast is kind of bringing to bear some of the kind of broad-ranging experience that Suz has and the experience that Josie has in a sort of local setting at this moment. And to kind of bring that to bear on what we might be able to do in youth ministry to help young people to deal with this and to be pointed to Jesus in this as well. So it's brilliant to have you guys with us. Bearing in mind also that this is a global pandemic, it feels like we're sort of, I don't know, getting over the edge of it when it comes to what's happening in Sydney. I think it's 20 days today, I think. Without any local transmission, you know, restrictions are gradually easing, that kind of thing. But it is a global pandemic. It's had, you know, broad ranging kind of impacts on us. What's it been like for you over the last year now?
Yeah, I guess for me, being an essential worker, that's what we're called, you know, work has been the same. There's still people that need to be cared for and supported amongst the police force and emergency services. So that kind of stayed the same. But what I really missed was church. It was kind of nice to sit down on the couch with my teenage kids and watch church with them because we go to different services normally. But having that personal engagement with people face-to-face, I think is so important. And even things like singing together in church, that's something that all of my family really misses, all being quite musical people, to sit there in the pew and be served by a couple of singers at the front and the band up the front, which is lovely, and we're very thankful for that. But I think joining in that type of communal worship and eating meals together and just enjoying company without being socially distanced, I really miss all of that. I think that's affected me. And then in terms of church returning, working out what does that look like for us going back to church, and how can we serve in this different environment? Because at the moment, a lot of the staff are doing the upfront ministry, you know, in aid of social distancing. So working out how can we still be a part of this church family and love and serve each other.
Yeah, I think I found especially the biggest lockdown times quite challenging. It affects my role as a ministry apprentice quite a lot. Ministry is people, and it was very hard to do people work when we weren't allowed to see people. So I found that really hard, like feeling quite, I don't know, that I couldn't really do my job and I wasn't doing very well at it. That was really hard. And then I guess the combination of that with feeling very isolated from friends and normal life, I like routine. And so without all of that, everything was quite uncertain. Yeah, it's been a real joy as things have started lifting, being able to see people and be at church and be in community.
Do you think it's important for children and young people to lay a strong foundation of faith? Well, we do too. Hi, I'm Andy Stevenson, and I'm the head of the Ministry Support Team and SRE office here at YouthWorks. SRE provides an opportunity for children from Christian families, from the occasional churchgoers, to those kids who've never even heard the name of Jesus before or read the Bible, to come to school, to be in SRE classes, to explore the Christian faith, to discuss big ideas, to hopefully build a firm foundation of faith. You can partner with us in this mission. You can play your part. Your tax-deductible gift today will help this ministry to continue now and into the future. So thank you. Thank you for your support.
We're going to dive into the topic of mental health. And so I want to ask you first, we've experienced globally a fairly major, this has been a major disruption to life. It's had impact in terms of health, and in terms of deaths overseas and here as well, changed society, the fabric of society. Can we expect there to be mental health outcomes from this?
Look, I think it will be ongoing for our young people, and I think it will flow over into their adulthood as well. Because really, the 12 months, even before COVID, we had this massive bushfire season followed by flooding in New South Wales, and then COVID. And so everybody was already on edge, I think, from just worrying and that kind of underlying generalized anxiety about what's going on in our environment and in our families. And then it was all kind of exacerbated by the restrictions that we've faced and the social distancing, which I wish they'd called physical distancing, not social distancing, but that's what the government called it at the time. The mask wearing, avoid public transport, don't go to school, learning online, learning from home, like all of these things have just fostered this underlying anxiety that affects all people, but especially young people, because we know that young people struggle with that anyway. The majority of them at some point in their life struggling with mental illness. I think particularly for our year 12 kids, that's been very tough for them trying to navigate this year through COVID. And so what I anticipate is once HSC results come out, that there might be another kind of wave amongst that age group of disappointment, uncertainty, and general concern about their future. And look, I think most people would colloquially say that young people spend too much time on their phones and on technology. And then, of course, with COVID, that became the absolute norm because their learning was online, their social life was online, and, you know, we know the impact technology has on young people and on their development. I have a love-hate relationship with social media. I think it's great for making connections and making new friends, but we also know the research says the opposite, that the use of social media increases feelings of isolation, of loneliness, of body image issues amongst young women. And also that on social media platforms that are not well regulated, young people are exposed to a whole lot of things that do affect their well-being, whether that's targeted advertising, whether it's inappropriate material, or the big thing that's been circulating at the moment is hate speech on platforms like TikTok, where kids just engage in hate speech and then that becomes their norm of the way they speak to and about people in real life. The eSafety Commissioner has also released statistics about cyberbullying. So cyberbullying has significantly increased. Prolonged exposure to the stress as a result of that can actually inhibit brain development and organ development in young people, and that has a flow-on effect for their adult life.
And I'm sure, Suz, I'm sure that there are people who have been studying this, you know, the impacts. Have you got any information about that?
Yeah, well, the eSafety Commissioner, and you can look at their website, they have released several reports about the impact of COVID in online activity, and particularly the increase of cyberbullying amongst young people. And you know, the impact of that on their well-being is actually quite significant, because when people are subjected to stress from bullying in particular, it can inhibit their brain development as well as their physical development, and that has a flow-on effect to their well-being into adulthood. Mm-hmm. With the increase of stress-related diseases and depression and anxiety. So that's something that we need to be aware of and watch for amongst our young people, and equip them to manage cyberbullying and to not partake in it themselves.
Suz, I what I'm hearing you say is that there are certainly some direct lines from certain things that have been brought on by COVID or exacerbated by COVID to kind of poor mental health outcomes. But I imagine it's not always the case that there are direct lines in that way. Here's a story that I heard recently of a school that just in the last sort of the last weeks of school, behavior issues have been a real problem more than usual at this time. You know, obviously kids are fraying at the edges anyway, but this year's been worse. Teachers are more tired and so on. My hunch is that it's worse this year because of COVID. Do you reckon there's any legs to that theory, that there's a general thing, there will be impact going on from here as well?
Absolutely, because online life means that you lose your people skills. It means that you lose respect for others and respect for authority, because in the online world, you're your own boss to a degree, even with parental controls. And so I absolutely agree with that theory. And in terms of mental health, what we do know is that there's been a 31% increase in young people age 14 to 24 presenting at emergency departments with self-harm and suicidal ideation. And that's quite an alarming statistic. Mm-hmm. But it's good in the sense that people are reaching out for help, which they may not have before. And I think that may well be as a consequence of a better understanding of mental health issues across the board and education at school.
And if that stat is 31% presenting, you'd expect there to be more that aren't presenting as well.
That's very significant and quite sad.
Josie, you know, we've heard from SARS that there are direct lines, there are indirect lines, there are all these impacts going on. Is this something that's rung true for you in the kind of local youth ministry context or what you're seeing around the place?
Yeah. I think we've definitely seen, unfortunately, there have been cases of cyberbullying amongst our youth and that has, you often don't know exactly what's happened, but you see the impact of kids not turning up to youth group because they're not feeling safe or part of their community or really distracted during a Bible study. I think that flow and effect of like behaviour just is very different. And I think it's a result of that really uncertain feeling. They come and it might be a safe space for them and they just go wild. And definitely like I think I've just in chatting with some of the girls that I lead, there's been much higher levels of anxiety. Kids were like just feeling really unsafe to be out in public or on public transport in a much greater way than they would have pre-COVID.
From a what's going on out there kind of point of view, it's not like people are being more dangerous or that kind of thing, but there is just that level of anxiety, isn't there? What do you think are going to be some of the most prevalent sort of presenting issues that we will see? What's the evidence going to be that a young person in our care might be experiencing some mental ill health issues? I mean, at one level, everybody is going to be experiencing mental health issues with this, but some of the more serious things that we need to be on the lookout for. How might that manifest as we do youth ministry, as we engage with young people?
I think in ministry, leaders and youth ministers and other older people in church that mentor young people just need to be very aware of societal changes. Again, a disturbing statistic that has come out from the AIFC is that in a survey of 15,000 Australian women during COVID, nearly 1 in 10 had experienced domestic violence, whether that be physical or otherwise. And out of that 1 in 10, 33% of them, it was the first time that they've ever experienced. So we've got to remember that our young people are potentially in these difficult situations at home, and that will, whether they're directly or indirectly involved, it will likely have an effect on their own well-being. So just being aware of those stresses and those drives of stress in homes, particularly things like unemployment, the closure of elective surgery, which means that people are in pain or in difficulty when they would have just had that fixed before, mortgage stress, all of those associated issues that our young people live in those homes where this is happening. So as youth ministers, being aware of that and being regularly in touch with our young people so that we can just make sure that they're doing okay in all of this. Mm-hmm. I think the other big issue is that we know that the ages 14 to 17 are key years for faith formation. And for steadfastness in faith that lasts the rest of life. Mm-hmm. And so I think from a ministry perspective, this has been a very challenging year because young people have been so disengaged from youth group and church. And there's been a lot of great online stuff that's happened, and I know Josie can speak to that for what they've done here at MBM. We will need to have a very proactive ministry to kind of recapture and reignite faith in young people and the joy of meeting together. And that is still difficult while there's limits on numbers and space, on eating together, on singing, on playing games, all those communal things that young people love doing together. So I think we're going to have to work really hard to kind of build that up again over time. And then this will have a direct flow-on effect to the well-being of our youth leaders and our youth ministers because of the concerted effort this takes. And by God's grace, with his help and his strength, we can do this, but we need to actually keep an eye on our youth leaders that they're not heading towards burnout in this proactive type of care. And it's a different type of care to what they 12 months ago were doing for youth.
And just on that point, YouthWorks has just undertaken research, and the results have shown that the number one response of how youth workers are feeling is exhausted. Yes. And there was a whole bunch of other kind of a raft of both positive and negative feelings, but exhausted was the big one. Hopeful was the second biggest. Yeah. At the same time, which is really interesting, but yet I think that individual well-being is going to be really important for our teams and our youth leaders and our youth workers. The other thing that was really interesting in that report was that spiritual well-being of a youth worker was highly correlated to good outcomes in terms of spiritual growth for young people as well.
And it reminds us that we've got to be careful that we don't, in churches and in our theology of church, silo youth ministry as its own little operation, because yes, we've got youth leaders caring for younger people, but we need people, older people, caring for the youth workers, and older members in the ministry team caring for those who are leading ministry. And so we've got to just be really aware that we're not just going leaving youth to itself. It's actually part of, it's just a segment of a whole community that needs to grow together. And that's why I think, you know, the whole process of mentoring and caring for our leaders is essential.
Well, with that encouragement to engage all generations in the mentoring and discipleship of young people, we are going to press pause on this discussion until next week. Make sure you have subscribed to the Effective Ministry podcast on your favourite platform, and we'll be in your ears next week, where Al, Suze and Josie will pick up this conversation and talk about what the indicators are of mental ill health in young people, how we as youth and children's ministers can best care for them, and how to know when to refer on to more professional care.
The Effective Ministry podcast is a production of YouthWorks in Sydney. We want to see effective youth and children's ministry in every church. And one of the ways that you can help us do that is by letting people know about this podcast in all the usual ways, like, comment, share, and review on your favorite social media and podcasting platform. If you've got comments, thoughts, or questions for this podcast, you can email us at effectiveministrypodcast@youthworks.net. And also check out youthworks.net for other ways that YouthWorks can help you have an effective youth and children's ministry in your church.